And there's always pictures. Tina's really great at making sure we take pictures of people.
In their most vulnerable state.
Yes, when they're not even paying attention is when the perfect time to catch a picture. But, yeah, the Facebook group's a great way to do it. Through that Facebook group, I also found some writing challenges and month-long things or short-term things. And it's a great place to share work and just get excited about participating.
We allow others, if they have an event coming up, to post on our page as well. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thanks, Tina. Thanks, Summer, for being with us today. Queer Poetry Takeover is Thursday. Open mic, Devil's Den, 1520 Northeast Alberta.
Yeah.
Look for the co-op and head one shop east.
I don't know what east
it
is.
It would be
but
east.
Thanks so much. Calculated Conversations is next.
Listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Next up, we have Calculated Conversations with David and Can.
Tune in on Thursday, August 30th at 8 p.m. to celebrate the Native programmers and the Native community of KBOO as part of our 50th anniversary. Jack Malmstrom of Rose City Native Radio will host this special on-air program. You can join us at the Native Community Open House here at KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue from 7 to 10 p.m. on August 30th. More information about the Native Community Open House and the anniversary programming can be found at kboo.fm.
Hi, I'm Rick Mitchell, and I would like to invite you to check out my program, Jazz in the New Millennium, at kboo.fm. Each one-hour program focuses on a living jazz artist, putting their work in historical perspective, from their earliest recordings to their most recent. The current season features such legends as McCoy Tyner, Wynton Marsalis, and Dee Dee Bridgewater, as well as rising stars Julian Lage, Joy Alexander, and Tia Fuller. New shows are posted weekly, and you can also find the complete first season. The program is syndicated nationally by the African American Public Radio Consortium, but it can be heard anytime on KBOO's website by going to the drop-down menu on the homepage, clicking on Audio, then Podcasts, and scrolling down to the Jazz in the New Millennium page. That's Jazz in the New Millennium with Rick Mitchell at kboo.fm.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Just turn the truck page into a business page, and I think.
And we are live.
Being verified.
Welcome to the Calculated Conversation Radio Show. I am your host, Ken Jones. In here with my co-host, the man himself, David. Ooh, we got all the way back.
We live?
Yeah, we're going.
Welcome to the Calculated Conversation Show. I'm your host, David Jefferson, co-host Ken Jones in the building.
Yeah.
We got a couple special guests in the house. We got Mikey Vegas, and we got Spank from Trap Kitchen.
Yo.
What's going on with y'all?
What's up, fellas?
Hey. Yo. Yeah.
Yo.
In there.
That's how it sound.
It sound good over here.
Okay.
You in there?
Yeah, I'm in. Wait, turn my head.
He plugged all the way in. Yeah, his mic kind of low.
Yeah, the mic is low.
Yo.
All right.
Tap that window, bro. We need the red mic cut up. The headphones are low, and the microphone is picking up low.
Right. Bluetooth. All right, how we saying? Okay, we good.
Better in there.
Cool. What's up, fellas, man? We appreciate y'all sliding in on us, man, and this busy schedule that y'all got nowadays.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. The thing is, man, like, y'all got a pretty... Well, okay, first of all, the show is called Calculated Conversation, man, and really what we're doing is trying to... we basically creating... You know, conversation, you know, we calculating it, making sure we get our point across, you know, trying to be strategic in our actions and our words, you know what I mean? And also a big part of that is bridging differences, you know, and understanding people and how they work. And one of the things I like about, you know, the Trap Kitchen is the ability to really, really build, you know what I'm saying, outside of the differences that possibly existed, you know what I mean, from where y'all from, you know what I mean? And I think that's the main goal. What we trying to get people to see the importance of, like, overlooking external differences and capitalizing off internal similarities, which is sound like was a big thing with the Trap Kitchen, which is pretty dope. I haven't really seen a lot of people do that around the country, let alone around the world, especially those kind of differences, you know what I mean, and really build off that.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
That run deep.
And so and the thing about that, man, so how did that work well for you guys? Like, what was the kicker as far as the differences? How are you able to see the similarities and overlook everything else that was supposed to divide y'all?
First of all, we black.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we come from the same neighborhood, uh-huh. the same city. Mm-hmm. We know the same people. We went to the same schools. He just happened to be like two, three years older than me. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine's from my neighborhood and a friend of his from his neighborhood, they're cousins.
Okay.
So they brought us together, you know, really like indirectly because we just took a liking to each other. We knew the same females. We knew the same social circle. And so it was like, okay, just like a big bro. He was
the first
dude I knew with his own apartment. You know what I'm saying? He had a car, cool car. He was part of the car club.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Really first person that took me out on the club scene because I was really like just working two jobs and hanging in the hood. Like,
yeah.
You know, going to house parties. I really wasn't on the Hollywood scene yet.
Okay.
So I took an attraction to that. Like, okay, it's something different.
Yeah.
And so, you know, opposites attract anyway. You want to know what the other side is doing when they hanging out with their homies and how they operate, you know what I'm saying? So it's intriguing to me. I'm like, okay, it's cool. And they accepted me, and it been like that going on 13 years now.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, okay, so Trap Kitchen's a long time coming. Yeah. The restaurant, the business just came recently. When did that start?
2014.
So how did it come about? Like, were you just flipping pancakes hella good? Like, what was the what was the start?
Did you go to culinary school?
I went to culinary school. Oh. It goes all the way back to when I was like 11 years old.
Okay.
Being in the Boy Scouts and going to summer camp in the mountains. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, every kid has a task or they're on a certain team. So I was on the kitchen team all the way.
Okay.
And when I was in the Boy Scouts, you had to have a duty. And I chose to be the prep.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So we had one scout master who would like instruct us on how to make this out in the wild. You know, start a fire and cook for the rest of the camp. And I had made some good food, and I took a liking to how people reacted to my food. Like,
that's,
you know,
active.
It's kind of like, you know, adrenaline. Like, ooh, that's yeah. That's me. I did that.
So we know if the zombie apocalypse happened, follow you.
Yeah.
Okay. Nah, that's dope. Yeah. That's dope. And then kind of through that, as far as, you know, you guys rocking together and coming, like, was it an idea that was thrown out and y'all just sat on it, or was it something
we just came to a point, a crossroad in our life. Like, okay. We tired of getting in trouble. Mm. All the little hustling that we doing is not being lucrative. It's not. Right. It's only a couple dollars for a while, you know. And I was up here for the most part of the time, and bro was still at home. Okay. You know, he was just hustling, doing his regular program what he been doing. I went to culinary school. I dropped out of culinary school. I had some like detrimental stuff that happened in my life that put a pause on that. But I kept my clientele in Vegas, you know, from school. Like I had developed a clientele, you know.
Yeah.
The nightlife was very, you know, prominent.
Yeah.
And I used to cook for pimps, hoes, and drug dealers, rappers, whoever come in town, you know what I'm saying? And it got me all the way up to Portland. You know what I'm saying? I got introduced to Mikey in Vegas through one of my family members.
Okay.
And bro flew me up here, and I never left.
Right. That's what's up.
It's going on like 7 years now. You know, I've been 7-8 years I've been coming up here, you know. I was still getting in trouble.
Right.
Around then, but Portland really gave me a wave and a lane to make music and cook. You know, so I produce music. So that's what I was coming up here doing. I came up with a couple of tracks, meet the local rappers, and just went from there. I ended up going on tour with him and Cool Nuts, and then I just blew up.
Did you cook on tour too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was cooking everything.
Instagram, they used to hate me for having Instagram. My homies, because I'm always taking pictures of everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm cooking, I'm taking pictures of every plate, every restaurant we go to, I'm documenting it, you know what I'm saying? So that's really where it started. And people used to ask me and my comments, like, when you going to open up to the public? You know what I'm saying? I just had a couple of clients.
Yeah.
I ain't really think of it on that level.
Yeah.
Right. But my bro, Bad News, I'm back to being the original hustler.
Right.
He was selling products and merchandise on Instagram. And I had a following already. I had developed my following. I was kicking it with certain Bay rappers that was, like, getting a buzz back then.
Right.
And they would help my followers go up. And he was like, bro, you got a lot of followers. Can you post this for me?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I got a Michael Kors watch I'm trying to sell. You know what I'm saying? So, boom, he get it sold. Like, damn. Like, okay, so somewhere in there is free marketing, and it works. So I'm like, okay, we come to, like, bro, I just got out of jail. I just got off tour with them. I didn't know what I was going to be doing, like, in between states here in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, man, we need to do something that's going to be solid, that's going to change our lives.
Right.
And bro, like, let's sell some food on Instagram. Like, you know, like, let's just see what that do. Like,
you
cook. I already see people in your comments. How can we how can we take advantage of that?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? You're right. But how are we going to make enough food to make a profit? Like, so I'm thinking, like, okay, what device good? Like, when you're in a black family home, you can sell spaghetti and chicken. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Things that stretch.
Right.
I made an enchilada pie, a big pan of that. And I go, okay, I can cut squares. Each square is worth $10. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
With some beans and rice. And our grandma had baked the cake. Get a slice of cake in there. You feel me? So, boom, we made it. Put up a post. In the caption, it was like, okay, we got this for sale. The wait is over, you know what I'm saying? If you want to pick up a plate, hit this number. Uh-huh. You'll get the address. So, boom, it started rolling. Like,
was that in Portland or was that?
That was in L.A.
That was in L.A.? Okay.
Yeah, Bad News Grandma House, man. So, we used to throw little Taco Tuesdays in the backyard and invite people to come pay 3 for $5 tacos. And it just turned into something like, all right, we own this something now. Like, we ain't had to sell no dope. We didn't have to rob nobody. We didn't have to steal out the store. We didn't have to do nothing. We had to flock. You know what I'm saying? This can really work. So we started selling breakfast. Like, what's the cheapest thing that we can make to turn into a real product?
That's crazy.
You feel me? So I take my 40, he take his 40. We go to the store. We buy our groceries. You know what I'm saying?
That's straight.
So we sell out of breakfast fast by 11, 1. 11 to 1, we sell out. Like, people still looking for food. So I'm like, bro, let's go back to the store. Now we can cook dinner. We can have two sessions a day. You know what I'm saying? All we spent was $40.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
40 made us $400 at the end of the night. You know what I'm saying? Like, to the point where we was running back to the store after we sell out. It was just a rush, bro. And like, we used to sit there in the kitchen like, man, what if, man, one day we going to be on TV. We going to do this. I want to cook for this person. It's going to get us somewhere.
Yeah.
Look at us 5 years later, man. Shit, it's an eye-opener. Like,
really
keep me humble because it's really humble beginnings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We had a window that was adjacent to the parking lot of the apartment building.
Okay.
So people could pull up to our window like it was a real drive-thru, bro. The landlord thought we were selling dope, man. For real. We had our little vision. Oh, shoot.
So,
yeah, man, we had a vision board and everything, man. We still got it.
Okay.
We're going to frame it.
Yeah, that's what's up.
That's crazy, man. People don't really realize the things you can actually create, you know. And like, where are we from? You talking about, I didn't have to sell dope, I didn't have to rob. But that's what we think we have to do, which is kind of weird, because it's like a cult, a mental cult that we all get trapped in. And like, and people don't realize you can actually sell food. You can sell, you know, and I mean, it's not that you can't sell in this world. You know what I mean, bro? And it's like, and I'm glad to see that y'all was able to take advantage of that. And then it's trying to kind of change the definition of what we thought success was, because we grew up thinking we can only sell two or three things.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think it's cool to see people from, you know, our culture able to, you know, capitalize off their own creativity and own passion, and then sell things that we would normally think is reasonable.
And I think that's the big piece too, is sticking with, you know, that was something that before any of this, the money part came up, this is something you was already into. So it was already something you was drawn to. And I think there's more people that got to take advantage of what they naturally gifted at. And I think it's a lot of people trying to force things because they're trying to play into these roles in which they're told they're supposed to be in.
Right.
You know what I mean? As opposed to just going this route. And you stuck to it, bro. And I think that, not even that, but, you know, and you know, this is my first time meeting you. I've been knowing, you know, Mikey for a minute. But through all this, you didn't kept it true to your core. You know what I mean? It didn't come with, okay, I went to culinary school, now I'm this chef, I'm switching up everything. No. You know what I mean? And that's another big part of that. I mean, even with this show, it's a reflection. You know what I mean?
Right.
And understand that you can have these multiple parts of you and still not compromise
yourself,
who the base is.
Who you are.
Right.
I think that becomes one of the biggest things with Spanking News, is just because they're so real. They're just them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we be in places all the time, and I'll be like, bro, you got to. And you're like, bro, I'm going to be me. Watch out. You feel me? And it's like, they're them.
Right.
And like, I couldn't see them changing. Like, they be around Martha Stewart, they're going to be the same person.
Right.
They're around the homies, they're going to be the same person.
Right.
Like, they don't have no, like, no change up in them, you feel me?
Right.
I think people respect that once they be around them so much, they be like, damn.
Because it's consistency. We get
we
know.
Articulate.
Right.
We all, when the time comes,
right,
you have to be projecting, you know what I'm saying? Speak and look at somebody in the eye.
Right.
You know, all slouched
and,
you know,
and they could talk about, like,
clear.
He could talk about any, I think, like, where we was at XM Radio, and it's like, you know, it's so many different radio shows there, and to watch them go from, like, Laura Shearer to Sway. So what's her girl named Karen?
Karen Civil.
Karen Civil. She's another black woman in politics.
She's big. She's like big in politics. But to be able to watch him bounce around and go to all these different and have these different conversations and switch, it was just like, to me, it was.
They say when you real, you know, your heart will take you wherever you want to go. You know what I mean? And you can really sit in any situation and be yourself and still adapt and adjust and communicate. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I think that's super cool, man. I wanted, but Mikey Vegas is somebody I've been knowing for a while. I done seen him make moves in the town. And if he flew you out from Vegas, it must have been serious.
It was serious.
You know what I mean? So MV called you, I know it must have been real.
Brad was on shooting the video.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how small the world. Brad was shooting that video. Yeah, that's how small and everything he. Bro was shooting the video that you came up for with Rock and Smee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that was also got a little cameo in that thing.
Got a
did you?
Yeah,
nah, did you?
A little something.
Yeah, it's like, I'm a person, man. I always want to show love to people. And, you know, if I meet you and we rock and you're a genuine person, I'll have no problem with opening my doors for you. You feel
Absolutely.
Me? And that was one of the things with Bro. Like, me and Bro linked and we hit it off, and it was he opened all the, like, I can go to LA and get as much love as he come up here in Portland.
Right,
get,
cause
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like mutual. It's like, people look at it and be like, one thing you hear a lot of people here saying, like, oh, they always want to put somebody from out of town on or do this and this. And I'd be like, bro, y'all don't even watch the stuff he does. Like, he don't have to go on Hot 97 and shout out Portland and shout out all these people. He's not from here. He doesn't owe us that. You feel me?
Right.
But he respects the city. He love everything about the city. You know what I mean? And he act like he from Portland. You know what I mean? So I mean, that's why, you know, I'm a back him 100% in anything he wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, and as far as like anybody that's genuine that's ever came to me with an idea or wanted to work on, like, I try to support everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, and that's what I was gonna say, man. I didn't see you support a lot of people. I didn't see you contain yourself. I didn't see you have to not really thwart off, but kind of keep your calm under certain attacks, you know, people speaking your name, and you ain't really changed the whole time. You always been MV, you know what I mean? You ain't really switch up. You don't really care if somebody up here or down there, you chop it up with them. And so what me and Ken was talking about, like, everybody's on this positive movement, you know what I mean? I know I definitely am, you know, I'm all about energy and spirituality and, you know, and conversation, communication, whatnot. You know, and not airing out all type of laundry and stuff like that. But way back in the day, you was pushing that PVO movement.
Yeah.
That positive vibes only. And I feel like you spread that to a few people and they start pushing it.
Yeah.
So like, how did you, like, where'd your PVO come from? And how did that help you maneuver throughout these different relationships and business and keep yourself sane amongst all the pressure?
Man, when I did, like, I went through stuff personally that made me look at a lot of, like, friendships and situations I was going through that I had to, like, I was in a dark place for a minute. You feel me? Where I was mad at people and I was angry about stuff and I felt like, man, I'm doing all of this and I'm not seeing nothing from it, you know?
Right.
And I felt like if I continue to have that energy, that's all I was just going to be engulfed in. So I was like, man, I just got to look at everything from a different perspective. Right. You know what I mean? I'm just going to try to be positive about everything I do. You know what I mean? And take even all the negatives that come my way, just turn it around into a positive for me, you know?
Right.
And it just works for me in life with everything I'm going through. You know, I'm a real human being like he is. I deal with stuff with my kids and my kids' mamas and, you know what I mean? Right. Like, you gotta deal with life. Right. And I feel like the best way to deal with life is just having a positive attitude about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much stuff that we can sit there and like drag ourselves down about and be like, oh man, I gotta deal with, you know, every day I gotta wake up and deal with, you know what I mean, the responsibilities of living, you know?
Right.
I got a household, I got bills, I got, you know, a lot of stuff that I, you know what I mean? I could just be like, ah, but I just get up every day and I just make it happen. You know what I mean? Like, me and bro, people like, look, like, even me and bro, we might have a real deal argument and an outsider could really be looking at us like, oh, these two probably is going to kill each other in a minute. 10 minutes later, it's over with. You feel me? Why be mad 10 minutes later? Like, I got out my aggression, what I had to say.
Right.
So you know where I'm coming from. He said what he had to say. I know where he coming from. Now we know how to move forward. You know what I mean? Right. I know what you didn't like about the situation. You know what I didn't like. And that's how I deal with everybody. That's how I deal with everybody in life. Is just like, okay, we might be mad. You say what? If we can't come to an agreement, you go your way, I'm gonna go my way. But I'm not gonna sit here and badmouth you.
Right.
I'm not gonna do, like, that's our worst problem. We all tear each other down. Right. As soon as we don't like something, you got to think before we even opened up a food truck, we used to get love from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? Get love from everybody because we ain't in your lane. As soon as somebody gets in your lane, bro could have gave you the blueprint on how to do it or anything. It's like, now that we're in the same space, people feel like it has to be competition.
Right.
And I don't compete. Right. I just want to complete. You know what I mean? Because we just trying to put food on the table for our family.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we continue to open doors. Like, if I got a plug for you, let's run it.
Right. Because
something might happen out of it. You feel what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, my man sitting over there in the corner, he bringing a piece to the puzzle for us, and we trying to see what we can do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's how we work with people. We ain't closing doors. We not, we got this for us. We ain't trying to do nothing for y'all. You know what I mean? It's like, let's continue to open the doors. Let's see what works.
Right, but you're only working with people that carry a certain energy, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Nah, if you want some negatives, we close the door real quick.
Yeah, that's
you feel
right.
me? Yeah. We gonna push right past it. You feel what I'm saying? Like, there's no reason for us to dwell on it. Let's keep it pushing.
Yeah, so I tend to think that, and you might agree with me, man, that a lot of people is kind of is their own barrier by trying to be in competition, like you said. But number two, not really managing their energy, not really understanding what the aura that they putting out there and complaining about, I don't get no support, y'all not helping me. You know, I never seen.
You know what the biggest problem with that is? Because people have never been outside of Portland. So you get a rapper that wants to rap from Portland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who have I watched rap this whole time? I watched, all right, in my era, I watched Cool Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I watched people that was older than me, right? And in that day and time, it was like the streets were a little bit different.
All right.
I couldn't just say something about Kenny Mac. I'm not going to bump in. I would have to bump in. You know, the internet wasn't there.
Right.
I say something about Kenny Mac, I'm going to have to bump into Kenny Mac. I say something about Cool Nuts or Can't Be Caught, Got Him. These people, you're going to have to bump into them. So you couldn't just say whatever. You had to have some level of respect.
Yeah. Right.
You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, nowadays you can just do whatever and say whatever and feel any type of way you want to feel and say it to the people, and people are going to jump in and chime in and say what, how they feel about it. And me personally, I've always just, like, I did the Oregon mixtape.
Yeah.
I reached out to every rapper I knew that was actually doing something. Hey, you want to get on this? I pay for videos out of my own pocket. I press up CDs. I pay for marketing. All of this out of my own pocket. You feel me? So nobody could ever say Mikey ain't did nothing to help us, or Mikey doing this, but he not looking out for this person. Right. You know what I mean? And people, like, I look at it now. That's why I don't do music, because I just feel like now it's no point in it, because everybody wants to be the best.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to support, because they feel like, I got to support my camp. You got to support. And then, like, the town's not going to support you. We had Tyus. He got a major deal. He was getting a good look. The whole town didn't jump behind him. I don't know why.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? And then you get these people that get in position, and then there's nobody to support them.
Right.
Or they get in these positions and their head get big and they not doing what they need to do so they can have the city support them. You feel what I'm saying?
That's true.
I watch that all the time too.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you blow up and then you forget about it.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to have your people support. His young homie Roddy Ricch, he's blowing up right now, but he got his people support. Like, they whole neighborhood jump behind him.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, we gonna show up, we gonna support, we gonna push the line, we gonna say, this is Compton right now.
Right.
Everybody got behind it. So if we did that with an artist, we said, hey, look, I don't care what neighborhood you from,
right,
who, what you are, this is Portland right now.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? And then people gonna respect it, because if you think everybody comes to Portland, this is where it's at right now. We got Adidas, we got Nike, we got Under Armour, we got all this good stuff going on. We just need the city to get behind people, and we need people to understand, like, their position.
Yeah.
Some people
see, these are the conversations needing to be had more, and I feel this is where not just, you know, this gen, like, our older homies, the people above us, I feel like a lot of them dropped that ball of passing this type of game down.
Yeah.
And so the thing is a lot of us got in positions and didn't have that. It's a few of us that got lucky and managed to be able to pick up some jewels, you know what I'm saying, along the way, but it's a lot of people that don't have that. So these younger cats that's coming up, and this is, you know, they're in their age bracket, that 15 through 25, that's the prime age, you know, for this entertainment stuff. And so with them not having that, it's all solo. And it's just this idea that, like, with the internet and all that, where you can throw anything out there, you know, you get attention from people you normally wouldn't. And it's this idea that that's what matters.
And it's not.
That's the part that matters. And then it's easy to get on this platform and be in your feelings for a moment and throw it out there. And that's kind of going back to what we was talking about as far as putting out this vibe, as far as who don't support me, who don't this. And I know for me, somebody is throwing out, then I don't want to now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, I'm a silent supporter in a lot of situations. I got a lot of people's albums and stuff on my thing. I done came to people's setups and just gave money because I didn't eat what they was cooking, or bought something that they got. I won't even wear it, but I've been cashing out just to, you know, support a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, these are the things that are important. And going back to that idea that the best, and we discussed this on one of the previous shows, like, that idea of the best, like, think about this, we see this every day, what's the best taco shop, like, bro, give some parameters, what's good to you, we don't know what's good to you, so we can't put a best, and then people having this idea that I can't be good, you be good, he be good, she be good, we can all be good,
why can't we all be
right, exactly,
ain't no competition, everybody got their own thing to bring to the table, to the culture, and to the community,
right,
you feel me, why are you paying attention about how much food I'm portioning
on
my plates, when you should be worried about your quality of food.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right.
And, like, out in L.A., it's so saturated now. You know what I'm saying? That's why I took my show on the road.
Right.
I let people sell plates out the house. We know who started that.
Yeah.
Those people before me. I remember as a kid, people was selling plates to raise money for funerals.
Yeah.
For teams, for school. Just, you know what I'm saying? All I did was make it hip to... I put that to social media.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And I made it a underground restaurant.
You made it cool. Like,
it's cool to do it.
We acceptable now. Like, you know, we accept it. We still got our name in the streets. You know what I'm saying? Respect.
Right, right.
And in the Hollywood and business aspect.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because we never switched up. I never gave up. I never said, you know what? I can't do this no more, man. We didn't make no money today, man.
Right. Right.
We woke up and got to it the next day. Well, yeah. You know, damn like that. So we can run this today. You feel me? Like,
yeah.
It's just the drive. The growth. You know what I'm saying? And staying focused. Like, when you ain't really saying be in your own lane, that means tunnel vision. Really don't worry about who's on the left or the right of you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just matter about the passengers that's in your car.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure, like, everybody get to the destination.
With you until we get into the next destination. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And in the beginning, the family and the homies didn't understand it.
Mm.
Like, oh, y'all selling food and this ain't gonna work. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Even my own baby mama went against the grain. You know what I'm saying? Because she was rolling on social media and she had a following. And yeah. I was just working my way up.
Right.
She never seen the seed that we planted would turn into, blossom into, like.
Right.
I don't think nobody did.
What? Bust them over the head.
Right.
But you can't deny the good food, man. And we selling it. It's us selling it.
Yeah.
So we're characters. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's just like, okay, we want to buy food from Chef Kitchen.
Exactly.
Because it's them.
Yeah.
Then the food is just a plus. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's an
experience. I mean, even the truck. Seeing the truck y'all got set up in the way
it came out just like, exactly how we supposed
how
to
you envisioned it.
A house on the east side of LA, you
yeah.
know what I'm saying, with the front porch screen door, you know what I'm saying? Only thing we're missing is bars on the windows.
Right,
you know
right.
Like, right. They would have been on there if we could have had them on there. They was like,
no here,
yeah. Yeah, I got to do like the taco shop and just get that bulletproof
yeah,
glass.
Yeah,
I'm like, we don't even have a steering wheel in here. Take the engine out, man. Put a grill right here.
Right.
My barbecue grill. That's like what we do in LA. We barbecue.
Right.
We'll find any excuse to light the grill up. You
right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I just envision, I want people to be able to relate to how I like to eat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's a wide variety of food.
Yeah.
Not just soul food. They think that we black, we only can cook greens and yams.
Right.
And fried chicken and all that. Nah, you come get a lobster roll.
Lobster.
Spinach and feta. Halibut sandwich. You know what
I'm TK saying? Baller like, box. TK what's baller in that? Boxes? What's in that baller box?
Oh, deep fried crab, deep fried lobster, fried prawns, lemon pepper, French fries. Like, right. You know, just some
deep fried sandwich.
We ain't nowhere near the sea.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? We in the
great
northwest, man.
Yeah.
Nah, that's accurate.
Setting the pace.
But you guys is you guys national, right? Or you global now?
We're global.
We're global.
You're global now, right?
We're touring nationally. We're trying to get on the global tour next year, but right now we're touring nationally.
So yeah. How does so with that national tour, is like the van and stuff going with you? Like how is that working?
So like, I mean, one of the ideas we just had, they're rap stars. You
right.
feel me? They like rock stars and they play to their mixtape.
Okay.
Know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So one of the aspects I was able to bring to the table with them was some of the stuff I learned doing music.
Okay.
It's like, bro, if y'all can pull up, pop up somewhere and have 100 people come out, let's try that. The next thing you know, we got 400 people coming out. You know what I mean? Or, you know, so it was like, if we can get you like a rapper that travels on the weekends and goes and gets his bag Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and gets home Sunday to his family, let's try it out. And it's work. You know what I mean? And we've been able to go everywhere we've been.
People from different countries been asking me for it since we opened up. Man, when you gonna come to New Zealand? When you gonna come to Australia? Oh, we don't come to France, man.
We just had a whole family of 10 come from Toronto. You know what I mean? Just because they
came
from Toronto.
Because they knew you was
literally there. Came, flew in to the PDX airport and went to
just
the
to
truck.
Try to try.
10 of them. And all because they son followed Spank. They son, and he's 15 years old, he followed Spank and been wanting to eat his food
That's
for so
crazy.
Long. So before he goes back to school, his dad brought him and three of his friends and his sister, you know, and they all came at 8, and it was
That's
a trip
crazy.
To me because he wasn't in town.
Right.
You know what I mean? The son was like really looking for him. Like, I'm like, why, what does he keep looking?
Yeah,
you know, what is he looking for? So I'm like, man, everything good. And he like, man, is Spanky here? And I'm like, you know, Spank. Like, I'm like, he's like, nah, I follow him. You know, he's like, I've been following him for like 2 years and blah, blah, you know, I want. And his dad explained that. I'm like, that's crazy because my bro is a real loke from Compton. It got people from, you know what I mean, from way up top. That's like, man, I got to get down there and try their food.
Great,
and they really
man.
Made they end of the summer vacation to Port. I'm like,
did y'all at least FaceTime him?
Nah, I didn't even put bro on the phone with him. He was supposed to be flying at the time. Okay. He was supposed to be hopping on the plane.
Okay.
But yeah, it was, you know, I mean, that happens more than often at the, right. at the truck.
New Zealand. Yeah. Come in LA, we were shooting with Complex Magazine about blacks, like urban people with tacos.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, tacos in Los Angeles is predominantly Mexican.
Yeah, see, I'm from Dago, so it's, I understand that word. Yeah.
Super
yeah,
in Dago. You know what I'm saying? Closer to the border.
Right, right. Yeah.
Better Mexican food. Right. Down there, you know what I'm saying? But it's a small group of us that got their own business that's cracking, that's making crazy noise. In LA, Taco Bell, All Flavor No Grease, Trap Kitchen Monte Blanco.
Sidebar, that's what I say people around here in Portland need to go look at. Like, if y'all really go look at, like, the Food Manati and Trap Kitchen, like, the way they do it, they all got their own food cart businesses, and they ain't hating on each other. It's all love.
We hang out. Where we hang out off the scene and on the scene. Food events, we support each other. Right. You know what I'm saying?
All of them did the family. Like, what was that we went and did in Atlanta?
Back to Cali picnic.
Yeah. All of them. We had a whole corner. Yeah. You feel me?
Cali was in the house. Like, yeah. You know what I'm
saying? I be looking at that like, damn, we should be able to take like 5-6 people from Portland too.
Right.
You feel me? Like, but it'll never really happen. I think though that with that.
So let's not put the never out there, right?
Okay.
You feel me? Because that's what I feel like with this whole setup is. You know what I mean? Right. We doing the building blocks right now to start having these type of conversations and putting this out here on a bigger scale. And that's as it starts hitting more ears, where we talked about the idea of making something cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And these type of conversations being brought to people on a broader, you know, plane.
Yeah.
And hopefully this is going to be able to hit ears of some of these people that's going to be receptive. Because all it take is what y'all doing. And then it's somebody that actually look up to y'all that's peaking that. And then when they get in, you know, position, that's what they're going to think about. Right. Because that's the structure that was laid out before them.
Period.
You know?
Right.
So
again, without stealing anybody's intellectual property.
Hey.
You can be inspired, but don't be inspired to steal.
Right.
It's too much creativity out there.
Too much, man.
But, but real quick, if you guys want to call in, you got listeners out there that want to tap in with the Trap Kitchen, Mikey Vegas, or Calculated Conversation. Number is 503-231-8187. Call in, you know, let us know how you feeling, what you think about the show, or if you got questions, you know, just hit us with them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that's cool, man, because, like, you know, we trying to, I mean, you guys is crossing major barriers, you know what I mean, as far as, especially cultural, you know, when you got people from Toronto and Australia and everywhere touching bases with you. And you know, I think that's the beauty in, you know, being passionate about what you do and stepping outside the box and creating your own lane, right? You know, and also we getting past that, you know, that stigma that it's not enough for everybody, you know, which is kind of why I think in Portland sometimes we get too competitive, you know what I mean? Because people, somehow society made people think it's not enough. And so if he gets somewhere, then I can't get there.
Yeah.
Or if he get there, then he need to pull me up. I can't get there on my own. You know, and so that's the stigma that we're trying to break and changing the definition of success. And now people know that they can do food, they can do radio, they can do clothes, they can do a car business, they can create and sell things and build.
Do y'all think that's because the black community in Portland is small?
I think it's, in my opinion, I think it's because we don't have a lot. I think it's because we don't have a lot of resources in Oregon for like African Americans.
The first one get to the resources, I'm keeping this for myself. Yeah. I'm not going to share it.
They out here, but you got to dig them up. And that's the thing. And the people that shine is the one who's digging. You know what I mean? And if you're not digging, nothing's being given. And so I think a lot of us want things to be given to us, and we want people to put us in position without doing the homework. You know, it's paperwork involved. You know, you got to go around, you got to know what you're doing, who you're talking to, and know where you want to do it. Nobody just going to give it to you in Portland. In other places, I think, like, you know, say Atlanta, maybe even LA, they got more resources. I don't know about LA, but
Atlanta?
They got resources.
I definitely will go open up and get all the black support.
But they got resources out there, I think, that's catered to help us build and create. Am I right?
I think in Portland is, the thing in Portland is, people don't see a lot happen, so they don't think they're able to do it. People here, you talk to somebody about like opening a business, they think that's like something super crazy. And it's like, really, it's, you know, a couple dollars goes, you know what I mean? Sign this, get your stuff together, and then do it. Like, the hardest thing is just doing it.
Yeah.
if you just started, if you just reach and try to do something, then you'll see, like, it might be a little harder than you thought, or it might be a little easier than you thought. And that's what I've learned with business. It's just do it. Yeah. Try it.
Right.
But here in Portland, it's so small, and like, people don't understand it. Like, think about in LA. Like, you could be from his neighborhood in Compton Park Village, you know, and live in the projects, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody could take you out to dinner in Hollywood, and you're going to see a black man hop out of a Phantom.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he might be with 2-3 of his homies. Mm. And you see it. You actually get to see it. Like, man, I know him. He lived around the corner from me. Now he in his Phantom. Mm. And he got this, and I see him on TV. I see Nipsey Hussle on TV. I see him and Laurel. I see them out moving around, but I remember the days when he wasn't moving like that.
Right.
So that gives them hope to do it. Here, who have we really seen? Right. Terrell Brandon.
Right.
Like, who have you really seen from here get some money, really do something in the community?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, really actually be here and do it.
And then come back. And,
that's my whole thing. Like, I could go to L.A. We could have did the trap truck in L.A. My whole thing is like, I want to do it here.
Yeah.
You feel me?
I started it.
You know, this is where I want to do my business is at. This is where if I get, they give us $5 million tomorrow, we open, cracking right. You feel me? We going up right here. That's just me because I feel like my people need to see it. So when I do stuff, it's never because I'm trying to be like, oh, I could do this. Like, nah, my people need to see it. My homies, my young homies, you know what I mean? My family members, my little brothers, my little sisters, they need they see it. Like, damn, big bro doing this. It worked. We can actually do it. You feel me?
Right.
My little brother got a t-shirt company. You feel me? And I watch him. He got the dopest stuff. And it's like, I tell him all the time, like, bro, what is you doing? You go buy another car, but you ain't going to go spend. What we just tell him another day? He acting like it's hard. I'm like, so that's Mo. That's Mo. That's part of our collective. That's another thing we've been doing. You feel me? But Cream and Co. That's my little brother. He started
in Portland?
Yeah, man, it's dope. And he just like, he got all that. I'm like, bro, your big bro can put everybody in your clothes.
Yeah.
We can do it, but it's on you.
Right.
You go buy another car, but you don't want to spend $2,500 on investing into your business. You went and got LLC'd and did all that.
Yeah.
And now you just like, I ain't going to put no money into it. You feel what I'm saying? Because what discouraged him is seeing everybody else with t-shirt companies or clothing lines.
Right.
And I'm like, bro, you was doing a little something different. You wasn't coming out with just a t-shirt.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
But he sees everybody doing it. And he's like, man, I see
he black. He was cutting and sewing, wasn't he?
Yeah. I see black mannequin everywhere, bro. Like black, you know what I mean? Right. He rock black mannequin, but he like, to him, he's seen somebody doing it. He's like, yeah, that's the biggest I'm going to be able to get. And now I'm going to go over here and do this.
Oh, so
and he don't see he don't see the stages of when B-Wall first started to where he's at now.
Right.
And he ain't never went to him and said, hey, man, how can I do what you're doing?
Right.
You feel me? That's where people fail to realize.
If you
don't ask, you're not going to know.
You ain't going to know.
Right.
If a rapper came and asked me, like, bro, how did you get into Source Magazine? Or how was you able to do A, B, and C? I'm going to tell you what I did.
Right. But we done brought this up on this show, that same thing of information. You need some information.
I'm going to ask. Cool Nuts probably get tired of me. Since I was in the seventh grade, I had this man's phone number. You understand me? This is before you can call. I'm at home dialing this man, asking this man, you know, hey, I got a squeaky voice and everything. Hey, this is woo-woo-woo-woo. Hey, I want to know, you gave me your number. I want to know how do I go about getting in the recording studio. To now it's all the way. I'm calling him, hey, bro, how do we get a hold of, you know, Spotify and do it. You know what I mean? Like, I will ask, if I talk to you and I build a relationship with you, with this man going to all the events with him, I'd be to ask him. I'm there with the phone. I'm getting all the contacts.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you do?
Right.
And I'm calling.
You networking.
The other day, we had to figure out all the other accounts is verified except for bro's account being verified. We need to figure out how we make this happen. This is verified. You know, we did the research. Boom, today the check popped up. Boom, we on.
Bam.
Because I done met the right people to ask the right questions to figure out what's going on. And if I wouldn't have did that, they would have never went and looked at his page and said, oh, we messed up. We need to verify. You feel me?
Yeah.
But that's my point, man. Like, the point is, like, you digging for information. Yeah. You know, like, you're not really just letting people give you what they want to give you. Y'all creating and then y'all taking and y'all looking for these little holes in the crack. I mean, you calling cool nuts, you know, when you in seventh grade or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you trying to build, you're trying to get information, you're trying to get the knowledge, you know? And that's something we don't, a lot of us don't have out in the city, you know? And I think, you know, I know it's a little bit difficult, but, you know, like, I just did my fourth fashion show last Saturday, Walk This Way 4, man, and I was able to get, you know, 26 brands and businesses in that one building. You know, and it took a little bit of work, took a lot of struggle, was stressed, a lot of phone calls, a lot of conversations, but I had my mind made up, you know what I mean? Right. I knew what I wanted, and I seen it, and I want people to talk more.
Right.
And then see, then, you know, and obviously I got brands too, but it don't matter. I don't really care who get bigger than me. My goal is to make sure I'm a part of it and I'm supporting people. You know what I mean?
You know, one of the biggest things I notice about stuff like people like you, for instance, like, we all have our own lives, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's a million things you could be spending your money on.
Right.
You feel me? Like, people don't look at it like you want to spend your money, rented out a venue. You know what I mean? Right. Put out the promotion for other people's brands. They didn't look at it like that. You feel me? They didn't look at it like you going out your way to support these 10 other brands in Portland, Oregon. You feel me? They don't look at when people do that. They feel like, you know what they're going to start feeling like? This your fourth one you did? The fifth or sixth, they're going to feel like you owe him that. Why he didn't do it? If you don't do the one next year, even people that didn't show up, whatever, if you don't do the one next year, they're going to say, why didn't he do that? Why you supposed to do this for us?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I already got a message the other day. It was like, you know what? That's not even a real fashion show. Like, the only real fashion shows are done by Somebody messaged me and told me that. That's not a real fashion show. I've been to real shows. I've done plenty of them.
It's my fashion show.
I was like, damn.
Right.
It's mine.
Well, you didn't see all them brands in there getting love like that? That was crazy.
Come on, man. It's mine. It's not yours. It's my vision. Game.
That's crazy.
I got the message, man. Said wrong organization.
They're forever going to have something to say. You're always going to have somebody with something.
I'm used
to
it, though. And that's why I like, you know, how you handle your business, man. I've always paid attention to that. And I pay attention to nuts, too, growing up, man. And, you know, because you get in the limelight and you build and you create, you know, you attract good people, you attract bad people, you attract love, you attract hate. And y'all have a really solid way of dealing with the hate. You know what I mean? And it's really just kind of ignoring it.
That's all you can do. You know what I'm saying? Because if you...
I've never seen y'all really get engaged in
any... People that got me out of character, and I want to, and when you got the right people around you...
Yeah.
See, I got the right people around me.
Accountability.
That's one thing about, like, me, Mo, you know, Flyboy Mo, bro, us, we real brothers. Yeah. So we going to talk before we make any kind of move. It don't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Right. We doing soccer ball and water. Before bro pulled the trigger on the water, he's like, bro, I need y'all to taste this water before I put our brand and our name on it. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
And he wants an honest opinion. Bro, I don't like this water. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Why you don't like the water? We have that dialogue where everything we do, we're able to talk amongst each other, and then we know, like, how to move forward. You feel what I'm saying? Exactly. You got to have that with your team. You got to have people that surround you that's going to hold you accountable.
Exactly.
If people don't hold you accountable, you can do whatever you want to. And then you always are going to feel like you're right.
Mm.
You feel me? Because I feel like I'm right 98% of the time.
I
always feel like I'm right. That's one of the. I done got that bad. Like, I feel like I'm right, but I always have to, like, shoot stuff by people because I know in my head I'm like, oh, you just came up with the brightest idea in the world. You know what I mean? You right about that. They wrong. You know what I mean? And then I could shoot it by 3-4 people, and if two of them, like, bro, you might be tripping a little bit, then I'll go back to the drawing board on my end. You feel me? Somebody got to be around to hold you accountable.
Real stuff. Hey, we got a phone. We got a line. Somebody on the line. Talanda there? Talanda, you there?
Hey.
Hey, what's happening, lady? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Speak on it.
Oh, so good to hear you guys. This is the first time I actually got to catch this calculated conversation live. So I'm really excited at all the great things that I'm hearing you guys talk about, and a lot of the dreams and the visions that I have for our city are right in alignment with some of the things you guys are speaking on. And I truly, just from the depth of my heart, believe that the transformation that needs to take place here in the city of Portland, as you guys may agree, is far deeper than anything that money can possibly buy. And so in that, what I wanted to ask, and I feel, and David, that was an amazing show the other night. Well, the fashion show. So you are most welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to be present. And my daughter, Layla, was so encouraged, and she actually launched her own business from that day. So
that's what I wanted to happen.
And my daughter is 6 years old, you guys. She's six. Yeah, and the only thing she walked away with, she said, "Dave, why didn't David ask me to be in the fashion show, Mom?"
Till her next year.
Yes. So what I wanted to know, and I facilitate a really amazing course called Bridges Out of Poverty here in Portland. It's been the first one that's been done. Great work happening all over the nation. And I heard you guys talk about access to resources. And in that, and in the course that I taught, there were a number of males that were present that experienced some of the same things you guys are talking about. So what I wanted to know, whether this is the platform for that or contact me later, but how can I and others that are connected to certain resources throughout the community tap into the males of the city? We're finding that there's so much out there, but when it comes to reaching specifically the black males in the city of Portland, Oregon, we're having an issue with that. And I think that we're not reaching or asking the right questions. So if you guys collectively have any suggestions on how to go about that, please, please let me know. And I'm here to support and love on you guys in any way that I can. So just wanted to let you know that I was on and I'm hearing you and I'm doing my best to be that bridge. So again, if you have time, please.
Yeah, that's a great point. We definitely have already, me and Ken have had these conversations about men, you know, and transparency and, you know, toxic masculinity, you know, and sharing information and being able to really, really speak with each other and break things down. So we definitely got something in the works on that aspect. You know, we haven't really put it down in stone yet, but you're more than welcome to chime in and let us know what you want to see. But we got something coming for that, most definitely.
Right. And to reach out too, if you can, either go to the website at calculatedconversation.com or hit us on the Gmail at calculatedconversation@gmail. And if you send that question again, I got it partway written out, but just to hit that, and that's something that we can use when we're going into creating this idea and expanding on it, to interact with that and interact with you and pull you in on that.
That's right.
Okay, sounds good. And one last thing, just as a woman, and I don't know if hopefully this is the platform for it, but one thing that I sense is lacking is the power of affirmation and just really being able to affirm our men. And just having a really creative way of knowing how to go about that. I mean, we're such a broken people, but I feel that the smallest time and the opportunity to affirm our men, even in this moment, can be extremely powerful and transformational. So anyone wanna give me anything to that?
Affirmations.
That's your thing.
My bad. You know, like anything, we can all tell people what to do for themselves and hope that they'll grab it and run with it. The idea of having to battle, I don't think enough people understand that talking to yourself in a way that contradicts your natural your mind's natural attempt to protect you from harm, to protect you from any feelings of discomfort. And where that creates a problem if you're not challenging that and making yourself uncomfortable. And that's what these affirmations do sometimes, because it's this idea that this is who I am, but everything else in life is telling me this is not. all the stimuli that we got coming in, especially when you think of people coming out of our parts of this city and what we see on TV, what we see is the reflections and the couple avenues that we have to reach some type of level of success. Going against that and telling yourself who you are, making the affirmation, making the declaration of who you are, that can be hard to stick with. And understanding that it's not a thing that you just wake up tomorrow and it's like, oh, I got it. You know what I mean? These thoughts that go through your head all the time. And I think it's a lot of people that think that it's just a switch flip. And I say this all the time. It's not a switch flip. This is a constant. Right. It's a constant battle between who I thought I was supposed to be versus who I know I am. And that battle right there is a lot of people that lose to it. Why? Because who people think I am is easier to fall into that. Right. It's easier to run with that because they gave you the blueprint. Right. But figuring out who you are and being okay with that, sitting in that mirror and really realizing, like, that's this idea of me is not what's up. Yeah. And that's huge. You know, we've all probably in this room had to sit with ourselves at one time or another and really go back and forth with, do I stick with this narrative or do I create my own?
Right.
And that's coming into a voice and having that voice and using that with yourself first. That's
right.
You know, and I hopefully I answered your question, and I know that was a broad answer.
Well,
but,
you know, as far as a lot of men too, you know, in our community, we do got to get comfortable with the process of unlearning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to create that new affirmation, you know what I mean? Because like everything that we grew up with, everything that we learned, everything that we was taught, everything that makes us comfortable, whatever we used to, is not always what's best for us. So I think as men and as we grow, I think we have to evaluate the things that we hold dear and make sure that they still conducive to where we want to be and where we're going. Because right. if they not, then we got to cut them off.
Right.
But if they're still good, we can keep using them. But that's something we struggle with, like unlearning certain things.
Everybody's scared of change.
Yeah, exactly.
Change is the most beautifulest thing in the world,
man.
Right. You have to change every level.
Change gonna happen whether you want to
or every not. Level you reach,
right.
in life. It's gonna require you to make some kind of change.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And if you don't change, you're gonna be the one that's stuck.
Right.
No matter even
that's
if,
where we came to the crossroads.
Yeah,
we gonna keep hustling, like, you know,
right.
doing the wrong stuff.
That's you gotta right. be and loving yourself. You have to love yourself.
Man.
Be content. Know who you are. Like that. I think that's like one of the biggest problems is people not.
Loving
themselves right. and being content with who they really are.
Who right. they like really are.
If you know, like it's a million people, like, I could say it's thousands of people here that know mm-hmm. Mikey Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to say, this is the type of person Mikey Vegas right. is, and I could live that life or live up to that name if I wanted to.
Right.
But I know who, you know, Eddie Bynum is.
Right.
You feel me? Like, that's right. my real mm. name. You feel
right.
me?
Right.
I know who I really am. Yeah. I know how to cut on, be Mikey Vegas, put the chains on, go do everything. I know how to go sit in a meeting with bro with no chains on.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean? And deal with and talk to people, you know what I mean? So I yeah. think it's just like being confident in who you are, waking up, washing your face, looking in the mirror. And, you know, if you're a messed up person, own who you are.
That's right.
No, I'm a broken person. I need to stay in my lane because I don't want to break nobody else.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, I think that's the biggest thing is just knowing who you are.
Right.
Knowing your personnel, knowing the people that surround you. You know what I mean? And holding everybody accountable, I think.
And communicate with your people, too.
Right.
In there, I think that's a big piece. Like what you just said about being broken and so on, is communicate this with people. So it don't, especially if you've been rocking with somebody and then you have this realization about yourself. And, you know, it's this idea that you cut everybody off, like cut, cut, cut.
Right.
And sometimes it's like, you know, you're taking yourself time. To others, it may seem like this, you
yeah.
know, like he ain't rocking with me. And I think there's a piece in there that gets left out where you reach out like, bro, this is what I'm going through.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Like, exactly. And so doing that a little bit more, I think that's something that we got to do a bit more just in general.
Yeah.
It's habit. How you take it, that's on you at this point. I've communicated,
yeah.
you know what I mean,
right.
to you where I'm at. And that's where we got to just get better at that piece is having some of this communication and being real. And I think that's where everybody in this room, bro, you seen the people I done rocked with through my life. It's so many varied and even right. for myself, like, bro, I done been through everything as far as the background up to now, but I'm comfortable in being where I'm at now. I'll
right.
be
yeah.
doing all the antics online, having fun,
right.
having
exactly.
fun. Where at a right. point it was like, I got to press a line all the time. I'm
yeah.
not having, I'm not enjoying nothing. Only behind closed doors with my partners, but out
yeah.
here, and at this point, having that idea, like, bro, like, it don't, whatever you think is what you think.
Living.
And enjoying it,
yeah.
you know what I mean? But that's one of those things that just, it wasn't communicated earlier.
Yeah.
And the value and the importance of that wasn't communicated earlier.
Exactly.
Right. And that's what we got to start doing.
Yep. And so we are almost wrapping up. But on the final note, I'm thinking, like, you know, one of the best levels, test of maturity for anybody human is to be able to adjust and make new decisions based off things you've been through. Yeah. You know, and that's how you grow. And then when you get deeper than that, you got to be okay with loving yourself and losing people. Mm. You know what I mean?
And that's tough, bro.
That's what most people don't want to do that. So they keep a lot of people around them. That ain't,
you know? Yeah. Dead weight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People that's not really assets, they're liabilities, mm-hmm. not assets. Mm-hmm. You know what right. I'm saying? And the older you get, you just start recognizing, like, you know, I'm tired of supporting these people that just support themselves, but they choose not to. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm not right. saying don't support your homies, but some people just use you as a crutch, or yeah. they just know that they could depend on you without putting nothing. Ain't nothing wrong with being a worker. Right. Everybody can't be a boss.
Mm-hmm. Period.
The workers just want to keep the machine going. They're right. the most important part. And they the will boss just oversee and make sure everything is paid, everything is good. You know
the
what I'm saying?
The boss got the hardest position.
The boss got the hardest position, but shout out to all our workers out there, man. Yeah. It ain't meant for everybody to be chiefs. Right. Some of y'all got to be Indians, man. For real, you know what I'm saying? And I respect the Indians. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The one that's really sweating 9 to 5, going in there. If you work a 9 to 5, I salute you. You know what I'm saying? Me personally, I can't do it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just right. not for me. But right. I don't knock you. If that's your trap, you feel me? Trapping is trapping.
All right. Whether you're in the kitchen or you're in the office, man.
However you going to get to it, man.
I support all the workers out here, man. One day, if you want to be a boss, that's what you can be.
We about to get ready to get out here. Make sure y'all check out Trap Kitchen. Make sure you check out Mikey Vegas. Thank you guys for showing
up. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate
you, man. Much love, man. Next week.
This is KBOO Portland.
Girl in the car that she choose, a club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the car that she choose, a club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the car that she choose, a club going up.